Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is great to see you this morning. Thank you so much for braving the weather. Big ups from our pastor. He's in somewhere icy and cold, just as cold as where we are. Now he's in Iceland and he's serving the Lord along with Pastor Teresa, doing some great works there. He will be back with us, if I'm not mistaken, by Tuesday night for our prayer meeting. In the meantime, would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts? The book of Acts. I've been doing some studies in the book of Acts on Friday night, and we have been concerning ourselves with the kingdom of God and the nature of the kingdom of God. Because if you remember, in the first chapter of the book of Acts, Jesus is speaking with his disciples, and he had already been with them for about 40 days. And I think that over the course of those 40 days, he was expounding to them many truths, but for the most part, what he was doing was making his bodily resurrection clear to the community so that the faith of Christianity would begin to have its foundation in his faithfulness and would be able to withstand the various controversies that would come as a result of the preaching of the gospel. So he was making them to understand that what they believed was true. But ultimately, before he ascended to the heavens, they had asked a very pointed question. The question was simply, what is the nature of the kingdom of God? They put it in terms like this: are you at this time going to restore to Israel the kingdom? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, which the Father has put under his own authority, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, basically what was going on was the children of promise were asking the question, what is the nature of the promise? Because we had hoped that a certain thing would come to pass after the Messiah would come. But now you are telling us that you are departing from us. And we look around and we see that the things that were in power and in place before you came, before you died, before you were raised, are still in place. It's a picture of the question that we might ask. We know that Christ has come. And we know that Christ has come to us as individuals and that he is central to our family, to our community. But when we look around, we see the issues of our society. We see the darkness of our world. And we begin to ask ourselves, what is the nature of the kingdom of God working in this generation? Sometimes we even look at our own selves and we realize that while we are growing and we are developing, there are still many things that we would like to see changed. There are places that we would love to see ministered to on a greater level and to a greater degree. So we again ask the Lord, what is the nature of this kingdom? And we ask that question because even as we prayed and as we sang, everything revolves around the idea of knowing who the Christ is. Everything that we pray for, everything that we believe for, everything that we hope for, everything that we expect to see revolves around the idea that we are asking for these things according to his name, which is the same as to say according to his character. Now, in order for me to understand then the nature of the kingdom, I have to understand the nature of the king. Now, the strange thing about this is when we consider the nature of the king, we have got to get through a barrier of lies, because everything that the enemy is trying to do in this generation, everything that he's ever tried to do, is to attack the nature of God. Every lie that the devil ever tells ultimately has its goal in defaming God's character. So when we consider the nature of the kingdom, we have got to consider the nature of the king. And when we consider the nature of the king, we have got to allow the Holy Spirit to protect us from certain lies. If we believe certain lies about the king, then our expectation of the nature of the kingdom becomes distorted. So when you think about how people consider the kingdom of God, and remember, the kingdom of God is the central message of the scriptures. It is the central message of Jesus' teachings. It has to do with the concept of eternal life and what eternal life is, both on this side and on that side of eternity. So when we think about the issue of eternal life, John uses that term, eternal life, and then Matthew, Mark, and Luke uses the term the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. It's all the same thing. It means the new life that God has given us that is lived out on this side of eternity and continues forever. So it is imperative that we understand the nature of it. Now, the big problem with the kingdom of God and with understanding the kingdom of God, as I mentioned before, the enemy is going to try and lie about the king, so he's going to lie about the kingdom. And for us, the issue is, can we allow the Bible to help us to understand the nature of the kingdom, in essence, to give us the keys to the kingdom, the keys to understanding the kingdom, and the keys to living out the nature of the kingdom? Or do we allow ourselves to get caught up with some of the concepts of various traditions? For instance, in some cases, the concept of the kingdom, as you can see with the question that's being asked of Jesus, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? And sometimes the concept of the kingdom is everything has got to happen on this side of eternity, and everything has got to happen right here and right now. There is no process of development. There is only now. And we have a responsibility as God's people to bring the kingdom in our own strength, according to our own power. This idea that says if we work hard enough, or if we pray hard enough, or if we give enough, or if we do this enough or that enough, then God's kingdom will come. And there is no room for progress, no room for development, no room for the wisdom of God and the timing of God. Everything has got to happen right now. If we just get the right formula, if we just get the right combination. And it's not just on a communal level that we think that way. We also think that way about our own personal development. If I just pray enough, if I just fast enough, if I just read enough, if I just do this enough or that enough, then everything is going to fall into place. There'll be no process of maturity, no process of development, no sanctification, nothing. Everything happens right here, right now, based upon my own strength, based upon my own power. That's one error. Another error is to the opposite extreme, and that is let's wait until we get over there. Now, the nature of the kingdom of God is already and not yet. The problem is when we put too much on the already side or too much on the not yet side. So on the already side, everything happens right here, right now, if I just get the right formula. On the not yet side, nothing happens here. I just wait until I get to heaven. And so no matter how I live, I'm going to go to heaven, and I can say it's all under the blood. I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to mature. I'm not going to develop. Or on a communal level, we're not going to have any influence. The world is too far gone. There's nothing that I can do, nothing that I can add, no difference that I can make. Let's just do what we can to cozy in together and wait until we get to heaven. When Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead, he's talking to Martha, and he's talking about raising Lazarus from the dead, and Martha is talking about something way down at the end of the time continuum. Later on, it's going to happen. There will be a great resurrection, so on and so forth. But Jesus is saying, no, I am the resurrection and the life. He's saying that there is an element of the resurrection that happens now. There is resurrection life now, no question about it. It will be further developed as time progresses. And then, of course, on that side of eternity, there will be no death, there will be no destruction, there will be no decay. But in the meantime, we still can enjoy a certain element of resurrection newness, and we can bring resurrection newness into a community. Now, the third era is when we somehow are asking the Lord to do something that he's already done. That is to say, we don't recognize the already but not yet element of it. And we are basically constantly saying, Holy Spirit, would you come? Lord, would you do this? Lord, would you do that? Now, I'm not saying that as Christians, we don't pray for infillings and infillings, because we need the Holy Spirit to lead us into life, lead us into ministry, help us to make a difference. But at the same time, we don't pray as though there was no Pentecost. We don't pray as though the Lord has left us as orphans. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send the Holy Spirit. The Comforter is with us. We have been born again. So we're not coming to an altar, for instance, to be saved again from day to day to day. A new salvation, a new outpouring in that sense. We know that the kingdom of God has come. We know that God is in the midst and that God is on the move. So that when we pray, we're not praying as though we are orphans without a leadership, without a father, without a helper, without a comforter. We acknowledge that the Comforter is with us. And what we're doing is we're saying, Holy Spirit, open me up more and more to your rule and to your reign. Open me up more and more to your kingdom. In other words, we're saying, Holy Spirit, you have given us the keys to the kingdom. Let me begin to utilize what you've done and who you are. Help me to know what the kingdom is like and what I can expect. So if you and I want to concern ourselves with the nature of the kingdom, then we have to ask ourselves, what is the kingdom like and what are the keys to the kingdom? Now, what I want to do is suggest to you just a few elements and aspects of the nature of the kingdom of God, believing that if we recognize these truths and we begin to apply these truths to our situation, then we will begin to impact the world in a way that we have not up until this point, and we will grow as individuals in manners that we have not up until this point. You understand, this is a constant growth process. So the more we understand the nature of God's kingdom, the more we're going to grow. I expect that I'm going to know a little bit more about Jesus today than I did yesterday. The more I open up God's word and the more I allow the Lord to protect me from error, the more I'm able to walk in that truth. Praise the Lord. So first of all, let's take into consideration the fact that the kingdom of God is a covenantal kingdom. In other words, it is based upon the promise of the God who cannot lie. It is based upon God's covenant faithfulness. Now, consider the fact that the disciples were looking around them and they were looking within them and they were asking, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? They were looking at the world. They were looking at their own hearts. They were looking at their own expectations. And so for them, the kingdom seemed somewhat questionable. Is the kingdom in effect, yes or no? Is the kingdom going to manifest itself in the way that we had been taught? You remember, there were 400 years of development, 400 years of traditional development between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in that traditional development, they had heard some ideas about what the kingdom was going to look like. You remember the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and they're having a problem with the cross because they had hoped, according to their own words, that the kingdom was going to come in a certain way. So now all of a sudden, you and I begin to ask ourselves the question, when we consider what Christ has done, and when we consider what he has promised, and when we consider our expectation, are we looking at circumstances? Are we looking at our own heart? Are we considering our own expectation, or are we focusing our minds and our hearts upon the fact that God is always faithful to his covenant, that God cannot lie? If God says that we are new, then we are new. If God says that we are going to have an impact in this generation, we're going to have an impact in this generation. If God says that we're growing and we're developing, then we are growing and developing. If God says that we can have hope and expectation in this generation, no matter what the news says, no matter how dark the day is, then we can hope and we can believe and we can trust and we can expect. In other words, the kingdom of God is not based on the things that we can touch with our hands or the things that we can see with our eyes. It is based upon what we've heard from God. God said that he is doing a new thing. God said that what Jesus did on the cross is sufficient. God said by the resurrection of the Savior that Jesus is Messiah, that he is still on the throne. Everything that you and I hope in is based upon the covenant faithfulness of God. Don't get caught up in what's going on around you. Don't even get caught up in what's going on within you. If God says that you are growing, then you are growing. If God says you're developing, then you are developing. If God says you're getting stronger, you're getting stronger. If God says that you're allowing him to change you, then you are allowing him to change you. And in some cases, you'll see it clearly. And in other cases, it will be more of a gradual, more of an incremental development. But you can be absolutely certain that the faithfulness of God, the covenant loyalty of God, is the essence and the center of the kingdom. Thank God it's not about you and me. You remember the Lord says to Peter, I have given you the keys to the kingdom. And you consider that moment at Caesarea Philippi and you hear Peter acknowledging Jesus is the Christ. And then 3 minutes later, he's grabbing Jesus by the lapels and saying, you will not go to the cross. And at the same time, Jesus, in the midst of that, is saying to him, I have given you the keys to the kingdom. And he says to him, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Peter could have looked at his own situation and said, my goodness, some days I feel like I have a word from the Lord, and other times I feel like I'm speaking in the flesh. And he could have gone through all that whole process and said, maybe that means that the keys are not here. Maybe that means that the kingdom is not here. Maybe that means that the gates of hell will prevail. Or maybe, just maybe, God's word is stronger than me. Maybe, just maybe, God's word is more powerful than my ups and downs, than my ins and outs. Maybe, just maybe, when God says a thing, he does a thing. And maybe, just maybe, this kingdom is based upon his faithfulness and not mine. Maybe my faithfulness is contingent upon his faithfulness, but his faithfulness is eternal. His faithfulness is infinite. If he says a thing, he does a thing. It is covenantal. It is spiritual, which means that it is based upon the presence and the power and the promise and the person of the Holy Spirit. When we say spiritual, we're not talking about something that's nebulous, something that's esoteric, something that's atmospheric, something that's mystic. We're talking about a person. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the Spirit of the Lord living in us, leading us, guiding us, directing us, comforting us, walking with us, speaking to us and saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you and I allow him to take us by the hand and walk us through this life, then we are living kingdom life. When we allow him to speak to our hearts and to make us wiser than we are and braver than we are and more loving than we are, to cause us to reach out in ways that we never would and never could, to cause us to believe in ways that we never would or never could. When we allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does, then we are living that life which is from above, as John calls it, when he is repeating Jesus' words to Nicodemus. This is a life that is from above. We are born from above. Our wisdom is from above. Our capacity to love is from above. Our capacity to serve is from above. That's why Jesus told them, don't leave Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high, and don't leave until you receive the promise that the Father spoke, that the Son reiterated, and that the Holy Spirit is. Don't leave without the power, the presence, the person of the Holy Spirit. And when you and I are led by the Spirit, then we are living kingdom life. We're not living in our own strength. We're not living according to our own power. We're not living according to our own wisdom. We're not trying to love according to our own capacity for compassion. We are trusting in the Lord and saying, God, you need to take me by my hand and you need to lead me into this kind of life because I don't have that strength in my life. It is therefore, I don't have that strength in myself. It is therefore a spiritual life. It's a developmental life. That's the nature of the kingdom. He said that you will receive power. But then he talks about them beginning in Jerusalem and Judea and then Samaria and to the othermost parts of the world. He said, you're going to go out and you're going to make a difference. Now, for you and for me, when we hear about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the world, all we see and all we understand is the expanse of the kingdom. But for them, there would have been a serious controversy. Because Jerusalem and Judea, fine, no problem whatsoever. But their understanding of the kingdom did not include Samaria. Their concept of the kingdom did not include the goyim, the nations. They didn't think that way. It's not because the Bible didn't preach that. But like I said, there were 400 some odd years of tradition that happened between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And within those 400 some odd years of tradition, the people of Israel became very insular. And the idea of preaching to the Samaritans and preaching to the nations. Remember when the Lord was trying to get Peter to preach to one Roman centurion. And over again, he had to let down this great sheet and open the sheet and all kinds of unclean animals on that sheet. And Peter kept saying, I have never, ever, ever touched anything unclean. The Lord had to do that just to get him to preach to one guy. And John, who went out with Peter to pray for the Samaritans, remember, he was the one that wanted to call down fire on them. So when I talk about the kingdom of heaven being developmental, I mean an internal development, an incremental development where we become different people. If we are going to reach out on a different level, then there has to be something that God does with us, where he begins to break down the walls of partition so that there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. All of a sudden, we recognize that it finally comes down to us reaching out, not only to one another and strengthening one another, but beginning to reach out into the nations and beginning to make a difference. So all of a sudden, the Lord has got to work in us before he can work through us. So we have got to recognize that the kingdom of God is this moral, ethical, developmental process. It's an intellectual developmental process. It's a volitional developmental process. We are growing in our thought process. We are growing in our actions and in our deeds. We are growing in our emotions. We are changing by the power of the Spirit so that we more and more and more reflect the heart and the mind of Jesus. We have been made new, and so now the Holy Spirit is trying to grow us in that newness. This is why Paul was able to say, as a result of the renewing of your mind, be ye transformed. Remember, that's not to be read the other way. That is to say, the more you think differently, the more different you become. No, it's this way. You have been made different, and now you're free to think differently. You can think differently about your neighbor. You can think differently about that person that somebody along the way taught you how to hate. You can think differently about that person that somebody along the way told you was beyond reaching. You can think differently because the Holy Spirit is with you. And you can begin to go into places that you never thought you would go. You can begin to reach people that you never thought you would reach. Because it begins with an internal development and then it begins to move into an external influence. So it's developmental and it is influential. Before you know it, we're reaching the unreachable. We're speaking to people that we ourselves believed could never be reached. We're saying things like Jonah to the Ninevites, even though the Ninevites had waged war against his people. We're talking about God being willing to bring them to a place of repentance. God being willing to help them and to save them. We're not watering down the message no more than Jonah did. We're saying, if you don't turn, if you don't repent, then you have only death to expect. But if you turn, if you repent, if you give your life to Jesus, then you can be saved. And unlike Jonah, we don't sulk when they turn. We don't sulk under a tree when they repent. Because we're reminded that the kingdom of God is about first God reaching in to us and then God reaching out through us. Recognizing that the kingdom of God must start here and work its way out. Before you know it, we're in Samaria, like Peter and John, praying for the Samaritans. Before you know it, we're among the nations, like Paul the Apostle, who had been a very, very, very strict Pharisee. Never thought in his life that the Gentiles could be reached. And all of a sudden, the Lord made him the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle to the nations. It's controversial, this kingdom. Not everybody's going to love us for preaching it. Not everybody's going to gather around us for believing it. Not everybody's going to welcome us for clinging to it. And some people are going to tell us that our influence needs to be abated, that we need to lock our faith into our own four walls. They're going to say we ought not to impose our faith on this generation. But the kingdom of God is used to being controversial. The kingdom of God is used to not being loved by everybody. Jesus said that if they treated me this way, talking about the cross, then you can expect they're going to treat you that way as well. He said that if they do this in a green tree, imagine what they're going to do in your time. And we understand that. We accept that. We realize it. We're not afraid of it. We're not ashamed of it. We realize that not everybody's going to love our message. Hallelujah. But we recognize our responsibility to preach it. We recognize that it might not always be popular to be a Christian. We realize we might not be accepted in every circle. Some people might attack us morally, some intellectually, others physically. It doesn't matter to us because this is who we are. We're not afraid of the times of difficulty. Hallelujah. We're not afraid of the times of hardship. We serve the God who sits as King of the flood. We serve the God who knows how to open the Red Sea. We serve the God who teaches us to walk on the waters. We're not afraid because this message is intended to be controversial. But the Lord said to Peter, I've given you the keys to the kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He said, what you bless on earth will be blessed in heaven. What you condemn on earth will be condemned in heaven. He says, I have given you authority. Authority to both protect what God has given you so that heresy and deception will be cast out. But at the same time, you will move forward as a community and as individuals. And you will change the world. Because this kingdom is not just controversial, but it's also substantial. It is not a light message. It is not a trite gospel. It is weighty. It is substantial. The more you and I study God's word, the more substantial it becomes. The deeper you look into truth, the more convinced you are of it. The same way, the deeper you look into a lie, the more you realize it's a lie. If anybody ever told you that the more you study the Bible, the more you're going to lose your spirituality, they are wrong. Plain and simple, they are wrong. The more you look into truth, the more convinced you become of truth. If somebody tells me that the deeper I look into the Holy Scriptures, the more I'm going to become disillusioned, what they're telling me is that the Bible is a fantasy, the Bible is a lie, and the deeper I get into it, the more that becomes apparent. But that's a lie. The Bible is substantial. It can stand up under the weight of any kind of scrutiny. It doesn't matter how hard you look, doesn't matter what people have tried to do in the past with it. The Bible stays the same. And everybody in history that's tried to take it apart, they're all dead. And the Bible is still the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible is still true. The Bible is still substantial. The Bible still changes lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as long as you and I cling to this book and we decide that we're not going to let anybody talk us out of it, we're not going to let anybody make us feel that there's something wrong with believing that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, that this is God's word, that it is substantial, that it is able to march on so that the gates of hell will not prevail. If we remind ourselves that this book is true and that the God who wrote it can be trusted and that we have been made God's people by the indwelling presence, if we allow ourselves to believe these things, then we can hold to these things forever. Because ultimately speaking, the kingdom of God is eternal. And every lie is going to die. Every controversy is going to die. Every attack is going to die. Every demon is going to die. Every devil is going to die, thrown into a lake of fire. The devil might think he has time on his hands. He might think he has time on his side. But there's a lake of fire. We, on the other hand, we live forever. We put off this old tent and we take on immortality. Time is on our side. The devil's going to wear himself out with all of his lies. But we're going to keep on keeping on. We are God's people. We get to live forever. This is an eternal kingdom. The enemy might be trying to tell you he's going to wear you down, but he's not going to wear you down. He might try to tell you he's got time on his side and you'll eventually collapse. That's not true. You have time on your side. You get to live forever. There's a lake of fire for the devil. He's only got a couple more minutes. He's only got a couple more minutes. You and me, we live forever. You and me, we're going to keep on keeping on. You and me, we have a future. There is a promise. And we hold to that promise. We cling to that promise. We trust in that promise because it's based upon the Lord. It's not based upon us. It's certainly not based upon the enemy. The Bible says, I have given you the keys to the kingdom and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. That's a promise from God. I don't care what the situation might seem like. If you and I say along with Peter to Jesus that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, we put our hope in him, our trust in him, then everything that he said he will do, he will do. He can't lie and he can't fail. Brother and sister, we're growing. We're developing. Time is on our side. Time is on our side. The enemy wants to tell you, no, the kingdom is right here, right now. If you ain't got it together today, forget it, you're not going to make it. No, that's a lie. Or he's going to try to tell you, don't worry, none. Don't worry. Don't think about things like sanctification and development and growth. No, 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 no. Just deal with what you got to deal with. And don't worry, you're going to get to heaven over there. No, that's a lie too. If we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to grow us, it's probably because he's not in us. But if he is in us, then we're growing. It might be, in some cases, we are leaps and bounds. In some cases, it's more incremental, more developmental. But the growth is happening, even if you don't see it. There's a lot of things happening in your body that you don't see, that you don't know, but it's happening. So we just have to take God's word. And we just keep on keeping on. We don't stop. We don't stop. We don't stop. Brothers and sisters, time is on our side, not on the devil's. We're not wearing out. He's wearing out. Little by little, he's dying. You know that, right? The devil is dying. If ever you got a chance to see him, and thank God we don't get no chance to see him because I don't want to see him. But if ever you did, don't think you're going to see some dude sitting on a fiery throne. No, you're going to see somebody on a deathbed with an IV in his arm, just barely making it. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's dead. He's been given a death blow. You and me, on the other hand, the enemy might try and make us think that we're on some deathbed with an IV, just barely making it. But time is on our side. We're getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Hallelujah. 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 We get to live forever. We get to live forever. And so don't let the devil tell you that it's just a matter of time and he's going to catch up with you. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. There's a death sentence on his head and he cannot evade it. He cannot escape it. And his so-called life is ebbing away every single day. You and me, on the other hand, stronger, 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 stronger. Hallelujah! 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 I could get upset. I could get excited in here if I had another minute or two. But you understand my point? That's what the Bible says. Don't let the devil lie to you. Somebody in this room who the devil's been saying, it's just a matter of time, I'm going to catch you. Just a matter of getting in the right situation at the right time and having the right kind of circumstance and the right kind of trial, and I'm going to get you. But that's a lie. We don't have to argue. It's a lie. I want to pray with you this morning. Because there is a truth that comes from God. He says, don't rush. I'm going to take care of you. But at the same time, don't give up hope and thinking, oh, well, as long as I get to heaven, everything's going to be all right. No. There's growth. There's development. Sometimes in some areas, man, it's like that. And in other areas, it's like, man, oh, man, really? You know what I mean? But trust God. One thing I didn't mention and I'll mention now is that the kingdom is communal, which means we need each other. You shall receive power. He's talking to a community. He's talking to a people. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You're going to be my witnesses. And if we can't witness to the faithfulness of Jesus among each other, it's going to be pretty hard for us to do it out there. If we can't strengthen each other, encourage each other, be there for one another, it's going to be a little bit difficult. So what I'd like to do is for us to pray together. And for anybody who's saying, enemy's been lying to me, telling me I'm not this enough or I'm not that enough, telling me I got to get everything squared away by today. I got to do everything today. And if I'm not doing it by now, there's something wrong with me, something drastically wrong with me. Or saying, you know how sometimes we swing from one end of the pendulum to another? It's like, I got to do everything right now. And then all of a sudden we get to the point where we're so frustrated that we say, I'm not even going to bother. But both those things are wrong. At some point, we say to legalism, no. And we say to license, no. And we say yes to liberty, to the capacity to trust God, to believe God, to hold on to God, to believe that if he says he's going to change us, he's going to change us. If he says we're going to grow, we're going to grow. Every now and again, we just have to have our concept of the kingdom just a wee bit tweaked over here, tweaked over there, just recalibrated here, recalibrated there, so that we can just go on and do what God has called us to do. I want to pray with you this morning, both main floor, balcony, those who are with us online. Just believe God, believe God, believe God. Those who are with us in North Jersey, the enemy's been lying to you and making you feel like somehow you're inadequate. You're just insufficient. I just want to pray with you because, again, this is a communal kingdom. We're family. And we're going to strengthen each other. That's all. We're going to be there for one another. When you come and you stand at this altar, you stand in front of this auditorium, you're going to realize that you're not alone. It's going to be people shoulder to shoulder with you, praying with you. And when we come to this altar, we're not just going to pray for ourselves. We're going to pray for the person on our left and on our right. Because we need to support each other. We need to strengthen each other. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. And if God is speaking to you, hallelujah, and you want to pray because somehow the enemy has been telling you, you're just not enough. You're not this enough. You're not that enough. You got to do everything right now or don't even bother anymore. Just wait till you get to heaven. No. We're not going to believe that. We're going to trust the Lord. We're going to trust that he's doing something in our lives. If God is speaking to you, we're going to sing a song of worship. And then come to the front of this auditorium in the process. And we're going to pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. For us as a community, we've been bathed in truth for years and years and years. Obviously, Pastor David Wilkerson and now Pastor Carter Conlin, who nurtures us, loves us, strengthens us, encourages us, and reminds us of who we are in Christ. It's something for you and me to grasp. The things that I spoken this morning, please remind yourself, we're doing those same things every Friday night. Take time to come out. I think you'll be benefited as a result. The Lord has taken us into deeper waters, so we're having some fun. We're looking forward to doing what we can to expound the Holy Scriptures and to develop these truths. Lord Jesus, oftentimes the enemy lies and tells us that that we're either not this enough or not that enough, and tries to provoke us in various directions, either to legalism, where we're constantly trying to do things in our own strength, or to license, where we're so frustrated having tried to do things in our own strength that we just stop trying. Lord, we know that we don't have to settle for legalism or license. We can lock ourselves into biblical liberty. To know what it is to be free, to grow, to develop, to change, to reach out. Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and my sisters who've come to this altar. And I pray for those who are in this congregation who just need a touch. Just just need a defense against the lie of the devil that's constantly causing them to make promise after promise to God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the other thing. Our Lord, sometimes saying, God, why haven't you helped me? Why can't I seem to get the victory? Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask you to breathe truth. Help us to understand the nature of the kingdom by helping us to understand the nature of the King. But we've tried to find out the nature of the kingdom by looking at our own selves, looking at our own circumstances. But now we're going to look at the nature of the King. And we'll know you, and then we'll know your ways. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. Ask you to breathe life, strength, truth. Remind us the time is on our hands, not on the enemy's. He's not gaining momentum, he's losing it. And we're growing closer and closer to you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And we bless you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.